Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It is in your presence we come, Lord. We gather officially in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You've said to us that where two or more gather together in your name, you are there in the midst of us. We are now gathered in your name. And we magnify you and we pray, as the Apostle Paul gave, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, would come upon everybody. Wisdom and revelation, the eyes of all the people's understanding be enlightened or flooded with light from the Holy Spirit, that they may know what God would want to impart to them and not me. For I'm merely a vessel, and the eyes are on Jesus Christ, never on a man. We give you glory and honor for it in Jesus Christ's name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being here again this morning. I'm glad to be here. This is a great nation. We owe a lot to this nation in South Africa. It's because of this nation that even the Pentecostal churches were planted. From Africa came a man with the name of John G. Lake. And there's a book called John G. Lake, Apostle of God. One of the first books I read when the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit. John G. Lake. In a very short span of time, he planted over 400 churches. Did miracles. Finally came back to Spokane in Washington State. And there they had the what they call healing technicians. And thousands upon thousands of miracles took place there. And in South Africa, I could tell you the whole day about what happened with this man, the most astounding stuff. It was the inspiration of my life. What a pure man of God he was. And his house, his church, is about 8 kilometers as the crow would fly, as they say, in a straight line from my house. And so for me, it's like 7 kilos from my study to my pulpit, eight kilometers. To his church. So that would be 5 miles from my house that he had his church. And major impact on my life. And I realized that God is the God of miracles straight away. And I also realized that when we talk about God, one of my greatest frustrations has been, you need to know I'm an academic. I've been an academic all my life. And I never stopped studying. Up to this day, I study all the time. And so as you climb the ladder of knowledge, you begin to realize, when you look at people unsaved and people saved, and you realize the massive amount of lack of knowledge, and they don't know what they don't know. They don't come either to Bible school or to churches. There is a corporate anointing which I've just released on the audience. Many of you don't even know about it. You came in here, you felt maybe a headache, and now it's gone. It's not there anymore. Why did that happen? If that you came in here with pain this morning and it's gone now, just do that with your hand. Look at that over there. See it everywhere you see hands waving. Give Jesus a praise offering right there. It's called the corporate anointing. So in this corporate anointing, that's why Bible school, if you're a correspondence student, that to me is not altogether there. But if you come into that teaching atmosphere and the impartation that takes place is both with the Word and the Spirit. It's the Spirit and the Word working together. And it affects the people. And I've just done a course on eternal life, gave it to Pastor Alex and said to him, it's available to your Bible school. Maud did one also, and we brought both courses with, gave it to them. And I said, you just say to people, you know, eternal life. They say, yeah, I want eternal life. I say, do you know anything about it? And they don't know nothing about it. So we dig into it. And I had the problem with, because of my mindset working at a level of certain things, mathematical formulas and things, and then at the same time, you have people that are in the know, you have people that are completely out of the know, and you have people that are just the average level. So I had to bring it down to a level, that particular course, where everybody can sort of understand what I'm busy talking about. So we are here this morning, and that's why I've taken as opening verse just this word to you. So important, because the word, did you know? I closed last night by saying these words. Did you know the Aleph Tav, like Alpha and Omega? Aleph Tav, you have the alphabet in Hebrew, Aleph Bet Chimel Dalet Chev Av Tzayin, and so on. If you take the Aleph Tav, which is first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that each of those letters, they've gone through metamorphosis, and the original ones are the ones I'm working with. I study ancient Hebrew, the oldest manuscripts I could lay hands on. Notice that the letters are shaped in a different fashion. The Orthodox Jewish people, I too, call it the letters of fire. They speak about the Torah, which is the books of Moses particularly, as the scroll of fire. Why do they say that? Because each of those letters are shaped in a specific way to channel power in a specific way. So speaking the word channels power into people's lives. Creative power, creative ability, and huge, the eyes of your understanding be flooded with light. So this I say, Ephesians 4:17, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the goyim, the Gentiles, walk in the futility of their minds. The futility of their minds. Having their understanding darkened. Listen to these words. Understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart, speaking about the goyim, but also concerning a lot of Christians. They call themselves Christians, they ain't got no knowledge. They don't know what they don't know. And to me, I get actually very emotional about this. It's like almost like the plague of my heart. I go to the Lord time and time again and say, Lord, I don't know how to get it out. People say, write books. I say, I can't write quick enough. But I can teach in the Bible school and lay down a legacy of this knowledge to a level, to people in the knowledge of these things, and share with them. Understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. The word ignorance simply means lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge, and of course with that, the lack of understanding of what they know. Some people know things, but they even know it wrong. They understand things, but they interpret incorrectly. So therefore, Paul says to Timothy that I admonish you that you study the word of God to be approved unto God. Study to be approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul says these words to Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God. So everybody becomes a student. Everybody becomes a disciple. Disciples, the Greek word matheteo, which means someone is a student or a scholar. You're a scholar of Christ all your days. Except someone you grow to there. But you're accountable to their level of knowledge that you have. Maturity comes as knowledge increases, but is also applied wisely into your life. So I will then continue this morning, because when I got off the aircraft in Orlando, we landed in Orlando, flying from South Africa to Dubai, and then like up to 14 hours, a very long flight from Dubai all the way here. And as I got off the plane, I became aware of a huge war that goes on in the spirit over this nation. I mean, it is fierce. Now, there are some strongholds across the country because I've traveled the United States extensively, albeit not to preach. And my best friend owns a travel agency and they just take us all over the world. So I never paid for nothing. They didn't even want me to buy a hamburger. So they just took me everywhere. And so I've been to New York, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, you name the city, San Francisco. We've been to all of them, New York, all of them, down to Miami. We've been to these cities. And there are some places where the concentrations of demonic forces. But the general atmosphere at the moment is one of a complete war going on, unbeknown to people. Now, on the 9th and the 10th of October of 1983, I had an experience. And I say this to you with restraint, because of the simple fact and reason of abuse, because people belittled the prophetic. They belittled it by bringing it down to the level of just a personal prophecy for, let's say, fictitious Sister Betty, who's got a farm of chickens, and they're talking about the chickens that will now multiply and whatever. It's none of that stuff. To start off with, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 says, from the first verse says, but desire earnestly the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But he who prophesies speaks words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those three Greek words tell you everything. And it tells you, it gives you a definition of the what we call the simple gift of prophecy, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, faith, the working of miracles, the gifts of healings. You all got that. All right, so those are nine gifts. They're gifts of the Spirit, and they per definition, as God lays out the definition. The definition for the simple gift, as we say, of prophecy, not the office of the prophet. The office of the prophet is a different thing. Hebrew, Nabi, Shozah, those people that actually can see, they were called seers. So on the 9th and 10th of October of 1983, it happened to me in the night that a voice spoke to me, very beautiful voice, very crystal, most harmonious voice that you can imagine. Just this beautiful voice wake me straight up and say to me, I've anointed you with in the office of a prophet and the anointing of a prophet and moved you into the office of a prophet. And I thought, the following day, I thought, duh. My wife didn't even wake up then. That was just a dream. And I left it there, but I said, Lord, just in case it was you, please say that again. The following night, on the 10th of October 1983, six times in the night I was woken up. Same words exactly, verbatim repeated. Then I was still junior, like I would say green bean. And I thought everything was going to happen now. But I soon studied properly the prophetic office versus this, what we call the simple gift of prophecy. When we talk academics now, just the words of edification, exhortation, comfort. The prophetic office is connected with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, the revelatory gifts. They reveal something. You see, Nabi is a person who's called a seer. Samuel was a seer. So guess what happened to me? I began to see visions. These visions would shape what I am praying for. So churches started asking me to come and talk about prophetic prayer. Because if you do prophetic prayer, it's like laser focused. You hit it right where it hurts. Hurts the devil, of course. See? But now, having said all of that, that's where the story begins today. Tonight, we'll do the ministry to the people. And we pray for breakthrough miracle. How many of you need a miracle in your life? Well, you know, you can always watch Survivor or something. And I got news for you. You won't survive without Jesus, that is. You survive on the spot in Christ Jesus. Give him a praise offering right now. You see, You are more than conquerors. Your sufficiency is of God. Our God supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You are guarded by the power of God. You are more than a conqueror. You have the mind of Christ. It all depends on you. And as I said last night, I spoke these words. I gave it to my pastor. I have a whole group of pastors that work in the church there with me. And I was coaching them for a year long on preaching off the pulpit. And I said to them that the one guy, he said to me afterwards, he nearly got offended. I said to him, your problem is you've got to overcome yourself and you'll be able to overcome the pulpit. Overcome yourself. Yeah. He said, overcome myself. What do you mean? And he walked away and he thought twice. And he did overcome himself. Next time he stepped on the pulpit to be tested, he turned out to be one of the best. And I kept on coaching them, everything, from elocution down to everything. Voice projection, the whole lot, for a year long, and how to pray for a year long. And then at the end of it all, I can now call any of them on the pulpit. And I would say to them, typically prepare a sermon. You're going to do the staff devotions today, and you're going to do 20 minutes of speech. You've got 20 minutes. If you go over 20 minutes, it's going to be Armageddon for you. So they were stuck to 20 minutes. And they all worked out their notes in detail and everything. And then I'd walk in the door, and everybody starts going like this. They hold their papers like, and their hands are going like this. I walked up to a young man. He's like the youngest of the pastors, walked up to him. He was just about starting. He saw me walking and he got ready and he had his paper and he was going to start reading. I walked up to him, took his paper. I said, give me that paper here, please. Tear it up. I said, now I want you to talk. Be inspired. You know what you wanted to talk about? Talk about it. Because I don't need no notes to preach. No notes on no subject. I'll preach on anything I need to preach on. At the drop of a hat, you call me, call it out. Now, right now, I'll talk to you about it and bring it into the Bible. And if you want to, I'll take you all the way into the New Jerusalem. So, dear friends, with that in mind, I'm on a mission here since I got off that plane that changed what I was going to teach here. Now I'm teaching other things. In the book of Luke, chapter number 10, verse 19, we hit the mother load of what I'm trying to say. There are two verses particularly, and I need to read it. I could quote it, but let me read it and so that you can see. It's good to see, to hear, to understand the word. Now remember, every letter, particularly the Hebrew, is shaped with power. So I would take Greek and I would convert the Greek into Hebrew and then take the Hebrew letters the way they shaped and bring them into their power stance, so to speak, the construct. In the book of Luke, chapter number 10, verse 19, says, behold, I give you authority, exousia, executive authority, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all, everybody say all, of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means or any means whatsoever means hurt you. How many times in my life have I stood in front of people filled with demon spirits? They were from the Satanists there, and they were literally coming to challenge me. One guy came all the way from Germany. And he made the bad mistake. I was praying for people. He made the bad mistake. He had fasted for it, everything. And he had all the backup that you could wish. And as I was praying, I was coming down the line. As praying, he took hold of my hand. He said it felt like a million volts going through his body. He hit the ground. I actually thought, wow, that guy, I haven't even prayed for him. But he hit the floor so hard. It's a concrete floor. You could hear the millipubs running around there. I mean, it's just like, wow, he's really got it there. He was a Satanist. There was an angel, and he saw the angel, and there was the devil. And he said, you may not have the soul. This soul is coming to the kingdom of God. When he woke up, he was speaking in tongues. And he was no more a Satanist. All the way from Germany for nothing, just to get saved. So instead of doing nothing, he got everything instead. He got the kingdom of God. So we've had these people do these things. Now, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse number 10. Again, I could quote it, but I would rather prefer to read it so that you could stay with me on the reading side. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This is what I said to that young man. If you can overcome yourself, you can overcome your entire environment. I said it last night again. Once you've got control over your body, Paul says, I keep my body and I bring it into subjection, lest I preach to others and I myself be found to be a castaway. So I want to get to that place where I've overcome my own weaknesses, because the moment you step into that zone, you step into the revelation zone. You get to the level of Kadosh. Now, I haven't spoken about that, and I'm not going to talk about it right now, but that's holiness. And you are in command of whatever comes near you and whatever is evil with instant effect. The first person that you've got to overcome is yourself. And you've got to look at all your weaknesses, take them like a good general, one by one, starting with the weakness, the weakest one, weakest weakness in your personal life that you alone would know before God. Work on it, get it out of the way. Take the second one, work on it, get it out of the way. Build confidence, get it out of the way till you get to the most difficult part, and take that thing, if necessary, fast and pray until you have broken the back of whatever it is. Because the moment you've got command over yourself, you've got command over your environment and every day that you face. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one or the enemy. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance for all the saints. Okay, now he's saying a few things here. And I want to just get your attention now, because I'm going to do some demonstration, because men, I think in pictures. Everything to me is a picture. And I would therefore want to project some images to you. He's saying stand. Why do you have to stand? Because there's a wrestling going on. What does the word wrestle mean? In Greek it means, like, it comes from the ancient first Olympics in Athens. I've been to that Olympic course there. And it's a very strange, it's more like long instead of like egg-shaped, like the current ones that we have. And with a pavilion and the whole thing, I was there. And I thought, wow. But there was a thing called wrestling. And in wrestling, this is the way they won. They had a wrestling match to see who's the strongest. And the winner won by ending off when his opponent had surrendered, putting his foot on his neck. That would mean I'm victorious. I'm the victor around here. That's where they would end. That is the pale. That is the word. That's the description in the ancient original Greek there. That's what it refers to. We wrestle. Now, what do you think Joshua did when they conquered the promised land to those five kings? His leaders had to come put their feet on their necks and show them who's boss. When you're in Christ, you're boss. And remember this, that the Bible tells us about Jesus having disarmed. This is Colossians chapter number 2. I speak a little bit faster so I get more information across to you. Having disarmed all principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He did what? He disarmed them. What does that mean? Exactly what that English word is meaning. Disarmed. He took away, he despoiled them. He removed whatever armor the devil had. Do you ever think about that? I didn't say this in the first service, but I'll say it now. Revelation 6, there are two white horses. Revelation chapter number 19, from verse number 11. And then, of course, there's the one in Revelation 6, the four horses of the apocalypse. Apocalypse, used by Hollywood or Hollywood, whatever they call themselves, in the wrong way. Apocalypse means unveiling, removing the curtain that you could see the Christ. So the book is called, it's not the apostle, the revelation of St. John. It's the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It is the apocalypse. It is the removing of the curtain concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. So chapter number one of the book of Revelation is all about Jesus. And that sets the scene to follow with the seven churches. And so, of course, four and five, you go up into heaven. Six, you have the four horses coming out. There's a white horse. That white horse comes out with a bow, but nothing is with a crown, not many crowns, a crown to conquer. But he's got, there's no mention of any arrows, nothing. What did Jesus do to them? Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children of are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power over death. Do what to him? Destroy him who had, past tense, the power over death, which is the devil. Destroy. What does that mean? Bring him to a zero. So now where does he come from? He deceives. He's called the deceiver of the nations. When he finally goes in to the lake of fire and brimstone, my favorite verse in the Bible, or one of my favorite verses, Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 10, where he joins the beast, the false prophet, and is cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, takes the central seat to burn forever for what he has done. He doesn't like that verse. Once I was casting demons out of a person, and that woman says, just don't quote that verse. I said, Level, I'm so glad you're saying that. I'll do it again. No! I'll do it again. No, do that. I'll do it again. By the third, fourth time, that demon came out like a shot, I tell you. It was out of that woman. We delivered her that night at a church in a place called Newcastle in South Africa. Very fast. So he deceives. And the only way he gets into people's lives is because they allow him in. You have got your senses. You also have spiritual senses. As you learn now in the Bible school, all your senses move to the max the moment you leave your body. Very important statement by a medical specialist that died for a period of time and came alive again. And gave detail, it's all in the course. Of that. Your senses move to the max. But here on earth, you have senses like your eyes, your ears, and so on and so forth. Touch, feeling, smell, taste. And he deceives the people because they're caught up in the space-time continuum of which we are part of now. And so he's the deceiver of the nations. When they open up their eyes to look at stuff they shouldn't be looking at. Listen with their ears to listen to psychedelic music that is demon-filled. Oh, I can talk about that. How those things call up the demons is just unbelievable. They listen to that stuff and afterwards they complain they got a demon. We've not cast out demons. We've cast out hundreds and hundreds. One of them came and sat in the second row of the church where I was and busy with the service. And right towards the end of the service, I'm just about ready to close, woman's whole face begins to twist. She manifests. There's a witch in a city not nearby. She's controlling this woman, which is also a witch, but she's like a chalice. She's sending spirits to her, trying to do witchcraft. And that the power of God hits her right there in the chair. I said to the guys, take her outside, cast the demon out, get over with it. I'm not having the devil disrupt our church service. And I kept on preaching. Came out afterwards, there's a whole crowd around this woman. I'm on my way, my car's parked there, so I saw the crowd. So I said to my wife, let me just go and look. And I got there. She said, You're the one we're after. I said, no, devil, you've come to this place. There came a fury upon me then. Have you ever heard of a thing called spiritual authority? There came a fury on me. And it's like the wrath of God. I said, you've come to this place. You've dared to challenge the house of the living God of the kingdom of God. And me, I'm a servant of the Lord, as you very well know. And therefore, because you've been so audacious, therefore, the hand of the Lord shall come upon you, and you shall be struck with blindness and not see the day of light until you have repented. They picked her up from the ground. She was blind right there. And the witch in the town nearby was struck with blindness. That night, they had to carry her to the car, take her home. She was blind. That night, midnight, she gave her life to the Lord. Her eyes went open. The moment she received Jesus, her eyes opened up. The witch on the other side of the town did not. She died 6 weeks later. So we don't play games. He disarmed them. People open themselves up by what they get up to. So we have to control ourselves, overcome ourselves, so that we can overcome our environment. You move into the realm of revelation. I call it the revelation zone. When you do that. Now, I'm getting to the USA. I love this country. I love the people of this country. I just love this country. And I care about you. I really care about you. You're not a small group of people. You're part of a group of churches called Fivefold Ministries International. Pastor Alex is the representative here. We have more people connected to us in Houston, Texas, but I've appointed Alex as the supervisor of the United States areas and Canada, whatever. I'm the moderator of the group of churches, and they're multiplying now all over South Africa. They're multiplying into the French population via Reunion Island up into France. Everywhere they're planting Bible schools all over France. Montpellier, Toulouse, Paris. Go across the ocean, the French-speaking Africa, right across into Ottawa, Canada, Toronto, all of those cities. Bible schools. Same one that is being run here is there now, but it's just in French. An army. I tell you, them French are in for a revival. An army of new soldiers are coming out. So, having said all of this, now look at me now. I want you to look at me. Let's take the armor of God. I want you to form this picture. Think of yourself. We begin at the top and we work down. So I'm going to give you a mental picture now. Systematic. The helmet of salvation, right at the top. Drop down. Breastplate of righteousness. Drop down. Gird your loins with the truth. Drop down. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, or the preparedness of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith, wherewith you quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Declare yourself, I am in Christ Jesus, hidden in God. Colossians 3, Ephesians 1, and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we repeat that. I am in Christ, hidden in God, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, washed in the blood of Jesus. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. My testimony is a testimony of Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror. Whatsoever I bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens. I don't go in reverse gear. I go in forward gear if the enemy shows up. Ever thought about these guys with the alien stuff? I mean, you can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. I stood there praying because we are there in Africa. Every night I got a dark spot there where I go to. It's a place where I switch off. I've got a torch because there are snakes out there. So I walk with a torch and I scan the ground, and the dogs are with me. My two Rottweilers are walking. They're well trained, and then they go, they know the prayer spot. And then I go stand there in the same spot. God spoke to me there, and I lift up my hands and I begin praying. And right above me is the Southern Cross. And I look up, and this is how beautiful to watch the cross while you're praying. And you pray the royal prayer, Avenu Shimashimai Hit Kadesh Shimcha, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us, and lead us not into temptation, because you can keep us from stumbling. But deliver us from evil. That's in singular in the Greek. Evil as representative of the devil and anything that's evil. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. You've got the ability to do all of these things. That's what the Lord said, pray. Then I found myself in the position where I say, Lord, if I pray, particularly in the latter years, I kind of just be straight out, feel kind of stupid trying to explain something to the Lord when I know very well that the Lord already knows what I'm going to pray and he understands it better than me and he knows everything about it before the time. So, what do you pray? You don't explain nothing to God. So what do? Put me in remembrance, said the word. Isaiah 43:26 says these words, I am thy that blots out thy iniquities and shall remember thy sins no more. Put me in remembrance, declare thou that you may be justified. State your case. It's legal terminology there. State your case, you may be justified. So I say, here's the case. It is written. And I just take the verses one after another like that. The Lord's given me a very good memory, so I just go with that. I just come with the verses. And I know this. Jeremiah 1:12, he watches over his word to perform. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that proceeds from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish all those things whereunto I have seen, I've sent it, and prosper thereunto. Then I think immediately of what I told the people about last night with those angels that appeared to me in one of the visions recently. And I knew that they were there because of the election. Now, we're going into an election here, or you're going into an election, but they will be praying for you from Africa. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get a chair behind me, and I'm going to make this session will be closed. How many minutes? I've got 10. I got 11. I don't believe it. I'm just starting here. I'd go until tonight, of course. River of angels, and I knew there was a purpose, and it's the most beautiful sight to see that they all dressed for war, coming down, and the leading angels, they're half of them, standing in a circle. Wow, how beautiful that was, and they're busy discussing me, and I'm standing there. I'm looking at this. It's like, I know of a man whether in the body or out of the body. I don't know that such a man whether in the body or out of the body. I can't say that such a man was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven. Here I am, and there are angels here. And they're all waiting. And these ones in authority have got like bars, like you would have generals and army soldiers would have the castles and stars on the shoulders. And they have it here, and I could see, but it was gold bars. And the chief of them, the leading one, had like a huge, what looked, seemed like a chunk of gold on his shoulder. And he was talking to them. He was the commander, he says, and he points now at me, and they're standing around me, they're discussing me, here's all these angels. And they say, it is time for this one to be appointed principal, or a principal. And I thought, that's a term that I don't know. Because I have internalized the word, and I know the principalities and the powers, but what is that word principal? Well, very simply, you know, if you have a school principal, there's somebody in charge of what in this case? What I'm seeing, they're angels, assigned to the nation before the election. Like when South Africa had to go over into the new South Africa, there appeared in my bedroom a huge angel, wings going right through the roof of the bedroom. And the whole light, the whole room is lit up, but Mort's sleeping. And he stands there, and his hair is gold. It's like up to his shoulder, his face slightly rounded. This particular angel, I'll never forget that face. Huge. And he said, I've been sent from the throne of God. I'm a servant of the Lord. And he says, I'm come to show you what you ought to pray for before the election. That is South Africa 1994, crossing over from the old apartheid era into the new. He took me here and he took me here like I weighed nothing. Picked me up and I looked down. There's my wife still sleeping. And next thing he ascended right through the roof. I was out, taken over Johannesburg. I saw the city there go. And I thought, now, you know, I'm just going to talk about this a little bit. And I'm just going to say to him, you know, this is that urgent, go faster. And I said to him, shall we not go faster? And he says, if go faster, you die. And I thought, whoops, now keep quiet. I hear those wings still, like huge sails going like that. Huge. Landed, went straight through glass, everything, into the place where there was sitting the current president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, across from the previous president, which is F.W. de Klerk. And they all stuck in a rather tight atmosphere of negotiating the interim government. And their threats thrown across the table, and then F.W. de Klerk gets up and he walks out. Now, let me just repeat this, because I've spoken about this before. F.W. de Klerk walks out. I got him on a plane on a flight to Hong Kong. He sat behind me. Somebody said to him, that man is always praying for you. So when I got up and I got my suitcase from the top bin, he said to me, good morning. I said, good morning, sir. You know I've been praying for you. He says, yes. I said, let me tell you why I've been praying and how and where I was when you were there. And I gave him the whole layout of the table, who sat where, who was present, who was not. He said, it's exactly as you say. I said, yes, that's exactly. It's what you call a seer. You see things. And I'm still praying. So before the current election's just gone by, suddenly I got this and the word principal in charge. Hear these angels. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O you, his angels, hearken unto the voice of his word. You give voice to the word and the angels go. They perform the word. Hebrews chapter 1:14, Amplified Bible. Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who have obtained salvation? So I then say, okay, fine. Now I know that if I want to move the angels, I'm going to have to use the word. Use the word. So I go into the word, I quote the word, and I say, Lord, I want an assignment of angels to go towards the parliament right now. Then I want an assignment of angels to protect the state president. I want holy angels of war to go to this, that, the other. And then I pray like that in private, but when I come to the public, I just come down to another level because not everybody understands that. Are you still out there? Because I'm going to pray for the USA now. So I'm here with a mission. And I love this country. And I want to see a bright future for all of you. But I also know, because I have seen those dark spirits come down. I mean the blistering speed. Fallen angels are pitch black. They have no light whatsoever. They look exactly like a normal angel, but they're just like velvet black. They have no light whatsoever. And if you're in a vision, it's not 20-20 vision, it's 100-100 vision. It's like, there he goes, there he goes. They come down into the street, see the place, see everything. There they are, that's the address. I recognize this where I used to buy my university books. And I recognize the place, see the street, and so on. And come down to a man. Those who are the saints, they're light around them. Those who are not the saints in the vision, they're in darkness. So they just touch a shoulder of a person who's not born again. The head of that person changes into that of a monster instantly, like you switch on a light. And they get spikes on the face, like we say the prickly pear, the leaves of the prickly pear. It's a type of cactus that we have in Africa. And it's just like death altogether. And then another one and another one. And then I see that those people who are like that go to other people likewise. They just touch them. The moment they touch them, their faces change. Then a rebellion breaks out on the street. The next thing I tell Maud, the next thing that happens, that rebellion goes to that exact address on the television. I've seen it before it happened. I said, that's going to be, that's the address, that's, so it happens. You don't have to help God to bring things to pass. But when he gives the angels, you have the command, you understand what you do, their spiritual authority imparted. Can I have a chair, please? Now, I told him before. I told you before. You're definitely going to be saved. And you'll definitely go to heaven. Amen. Look at this land that you're living in. See the beauty of it. It belongs to Jesus Christ. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So I'd like to pray against the forces of darkness over this nation. I want you just to listen and agree with me as I do what I do. And then after that, I'll see you tonight. Right? Let's get into prayer. Symphoneo, if any two of you agree, means to sound together like a symphony orchestra, to agree. Just agree. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, the Lord God of hosts. We approach you, Almighty God, through your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David, Son of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We approach you through the blood of Jesus and through the veil, which is the flesh of the Son of God. We come boldly to the throne room of grace with our hearts assured in faith, and we lift up this nation. I'm here now, Lord, and I don't often have the opportunity. I don't know when the election is, the date is, but it doesn't really matter. We can set this thing in motion right now in the Spirit. So we, in the name of Jesus, it is written, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens, which means what things soever you shall permit on earth shall have already been permitted in heaven. What things soever you shall bind, prohibit on earth shall have already been prohibited in heaven. Binding and loosing according to your word, Lord, we now take authority over Satan and the principalities and the powers and the rulers and the darkness of this world and the spiritual hosts of wickedness as assigned to this nation. Lord, I call upon you to send right now an army of holy angels to assist us with this prayer and to start an operation of cleansing of this land in the Spirit. Our enemy is not human beings. Our enemy is in the Spirit. And so, Father, as we unite against the forces of darkness, we come against Satan. Yes, devil, you. I have the word Detroit City there right now in my mind. I take authority over you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we bind you in Jesus' name, and we strike you with weapons of our warfare mighty through God, and we pull down your strongholds in the U.S. in Jesus Christ's name, by the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. We take authority over you and all of the forces of darkness over every single state, all the way up from Alaska, down to the West Coast, all the way down to San Diego, all the way down to the southern parts, Texas, all the states, and the central states at the top there, Illinois, Chicago, all the way down there to Boston, round down all the eastern seaboard, the Central America, all the United States property, all of it does not belong to you. All the demon spirits of hell, I break with the people of God every curse that has been spoken against the body of Christ in this nation. I bind in Jesus' name every spirit that's been attacking the churches. I break every curse against any of the people of the body of Christ in this nation. I bind the principalities of each and every state, those spirits, senior spirits that have been allocated to the various states of the United States, every one of them, in Jesus' name, I loose the angels of war against you right now. Let there be a war. And Lord, remove those that you do not want in the seat of power and authority. Remove and replace, if there, whatever you is, you say, because God, no government is there except it is of God. Therefore, we pray your will over the United States. We pray your will, because people are to be loved unconditional. We pray your will over this nation, that at the end of the election, there will be a government that is a government of God. And everything will happen because it is God. And we pray now in the name of Jesus, and we loose the operation of the weapons of our warfare mighty through God, and we break Satan's power, and we bring down the strongholds of the devil all the way in this nation. We think of the capital city of Washington, where the government sits. We think of Capitol Hill. We think of the White House. We think of all the places of gatherings of those people that have to govern this country. I pray a hedge of protection, please, assign angels right now. I'm asking for all the angels, according to your word, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who have obtained salvation? Well, here is an assignment. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the holy angels move towards Washington, surround that place and every meeting that takes place, and remove all demonic influence from the people's minds. All demonic influence that work, that is a work of the devil. I break that power, and I break that curse, and I bind the spirit that worketh the curse in that region, every one of them, in Jesus' name. Now I pray the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done with this country. Preserve your saints. Preserve these people. Preserve the church. Preserve the churches. Preserve those things that these people so love and value, their families, their loved ones. And give them a brighter future than what they themselves expected. And Father, because you do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we can ask or think according to the power of God that works within us, I pray it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would bless your people with the abundance. Deuteronomy 28, first 14 verses. The blessing there. I pray over this country. I say what the Apostle John said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We break the power of Satan from the north to the south, to the east to the west, coast to coast, even in Hawaii, in Jesus Christ's name. We break his power and we give Jesus Christ the Lord a praise offering right now. Let's stand. Thank you, Pastor Alex. Come on. Come on. Come on. Stand up, praise God. Praise God. Shout hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.